Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. God is good, right? Not just summertime, but God is good all of the time. And all of the time, God is good. I'm happy to be alive, are you? It's good to see those. I've seen them over 2 years. We haven't been in this place. And we know that it's only because of God that we're able to get back here today. And even during a pandemic, God is doing His business. Amen. There's good during the pandemic. There's been good for us during the pandemic, as well as the flood that came through. And because of that ice storm, rather, it flooded our building, and we have a new facility. And God has blessed us to be able to come back. And you've been patient with us for the last 2 years. And we're so thankful that God has done that for us. Amen. Yes, so we are elated to be back in the house of God. Yeah. So, if you're visiting with us and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, we want to let you know that you are honored guests. We thank you for being with us this morning. We pray that you will receive with meekness God's engrafted word, for it's able to save your soul. Amen. We believe in the Church of the Christ that the Bible is right and every word of the Bible is right. Because we believe that this is the book that gives us instructions about what we must do in order to save our souls. How many of you want to go to heaven? You want to go to heaven, you got to do it God's way. And we're going to do it God's way. And the way we do that is follow the scripture. The Bible said all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. So this book gives us the instructions we need in order to be righteous. Now we have those on our conference call listening. Hopefully they can hear. Welcome to our call from on the conference call, YouTube, Facebook Live, all those kind of things. We got working now. We just got a listening audience. We pray now that everyone listening will receive God's word with meekness, and that you too, if you hear, you will obey. If you're not a member of the Church of Christ, or if you're listening to us out there, that you would be willing to obey the gospel, believing that Jesus hung, bled, and died on Calvary, shed His blood that will wash our sins away according to the Bible. That happens in baptism. When you're baptized for the remission of your sins, you're added to the Lord's church. Now, there's only one church in the Bible, and that is the Church of Christ. That's the only one you ever hear me preach about and talk about, because that's the only thing in the Bible, so that's as far as I'm going to go with it. Amen? But you got to do it the way the Lord has said. Now, I want to go this morning. I want to talk to us from topic under the juniper tree. Under the juniper tree. First Kings chapter will be in chapter 19 eventually. This is more than part one of it. And I just know life sends us tragedies and traumas and difficulties. Life will have us on journeys because of financial issues that we may have pertaining to life. Life can send us on journeys, runaways, escapes from marital issues type things, or perhaps medical problems and diagnoses that you weren't expecting, and radiation and chemotherapy and dialysis, and it sends you on this journey. When we're going through things in life, we can have family members who are sick, and ourselves are sick, and we become caretakers, and then we have to deal with those losses, and send us on journeys of our own. Sometimes it's just like we all by ourselves. How many of you ever been there? It seemed like it was just you. You were going through something. It was your difficulty. No one else could relate, but you were on a journey, and you were dealing with it. But you know, life is tough. Amen. Life is tough, and it's difficult to live right when people are all around you working evil and being wrong and talking ugly, and people are treating you wrong. And it just makes it hard to live the Christian life, it seems like. If I could say amen, I'd like to just say, I haven't heard amens in a long time. I don't hear nobody saying that in the conference call. I've been a long time. But I want you to say amen, because I do want to come to us from this angle, because you know, we can see the negativity of life, because we can see the negative thing. If you look at the pandemic, you see all the negative. You didn't see God at work. But if you see how many people are now closer to God because of the pandemic, how many people are more aware of death because of the pandemic, how many people were saved because of the pandemic, then you can see some good in it. If you can see that we had a broke down system here, an old antique system, if you can see that we had old pews and a worn out sound system, then you can only see good in our storm. You can only see God when you see the good that God has done in our lives. I know in my life I can see the good because I've been on journeys myself. We've been on journeys of departures of friends and loneliness and losing of loved ones and people even saying we're not coming back to Holly Heights. They go on and on. People were worried about members who weren't going to come back. But the members of the Church of Christ, I need to say this to all of us. They need to be on a journey to save their soul. And if it's not at this location, I say, praise the Lord. Membership don't belong to Brother Brooks. It doesn't belong to Hollow Heights. A person should go where they can save their soul. This journey is too long and too hard. So me, myself, I say praise the Lord for those who've gone on. I wish them well, bid them farewell, and I pray everyone understand what I'm saying. If it comes a time when Brother Brooks cannot save his soul being here, I will move on. Why? Because the most important thing we have is our soul. So that's a message to those who may be concerned. I'm not concerned about those things. I'm not concerned about folk not coming here. I'm happy for them. That's good. You should have a good spirit about you. Wherever you worship, it should be that you worship because one day you'll be under this juniper tree. And that's what I want to talk about, because life is tough and sometimes you want to give up on life. And some do, and they give up on life. They're just ready to die. They're ready to move on. They give up on God. They give up on themselves. They settle for less. And then they start accepting status quo. And all they want, man, this journey needs to be over. I'm tired of living. Some can be so depressed and down, they'll take their own lives. And there are some who won't take their lives, but they'll say, God, I'm just ready to go. I'm tired. And so this study here, we'll do part 1, 2, and 3, and I'm not going to be long because I'm not trying to get us through this first attendant return. But I want to say a few things about this story. In 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 1 through 5, the Bible says this. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and whether how he had done, slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he had saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. And then the Bible says that, but he himself went on a day's journey into the wilderness. This is the journey I'm talking about. He went into a journey, his journey. We on journeys. All of us are on a journey of some kind. And he went there, and the Bible says that he came and sat down under a juniper tree. This is where I get my title, under the juniper tree. And he says here, he requested for himself that he might die. See that? And said, it is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And he lay and slept under the juniper tree. Behold, their angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. Here he is, Elijah, one of men, God's men servants. Great man of God. And this is what represents those of us who believe in God. That we believe God is in the, he's in the mix with our lives. And we believe that. How many of y'all believe in God? We're here because we believe in God. So did Elijah. Elijah, being a man of God, had been challenged, though. And so I want to talk about that because if we go back now, we got to kind of recap to get to chapter 19. We won't do that all today, but we'll in chapter number 16 of this text. It's 1 Kings 16 of the text is where it's kind of starts out. In verse 1, is I read it to you. Then the word of the Lord came to Jehu, the son of Hanah, against Baasha, saying, Forasmuch as I exalted thee out of the dust and made thee prince over my people Israel, thou hast walked in the way of Jeroboam, hath made my people Israel to what? Sin. So Israel has sinned and provoked God to anger. So there are things that happen in this world that God can be angry with. God is angry with can be angry with sinful things. And I talked about anger on Wednesday night, how God is angry with, and that's the type of anger that God is, he resists the evil. There's a lot of anger. God is angry with a lot of things in this world that's going on, and we see the world that we live in. And because of that, God, they provoke God. God is going to respond. And those who are instruments of this behavior, ones who are partakers of the hope, they will suffer from it. But not only will they suffer, some of God's people will suffer along with them. And that's what we're seeing there in chapter 17. Now, in chapter 17 now, let's go over there, verse 1. And the Bible says, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was the inhabitant of Gilead, said unto Ahab, Ahab is one of the characters we talk about in this story, Ahab, Jezebel, Elijah, Obadiah. He says this, and unto Ahab, and the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, and then here comes the punishment. There shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself. This is Elijah he's talking to. So Elijah's going to, God is getting ready to bring this famine and bring all this famine on the Israel. And now he tells Elijah, his man, what I need you to do, because I'm getting ready to do this, go hence and turn eastward, hide yourself by the brook Cherith, and that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee. So God said, you're going to know that you're going to feel the famine too, but I'm going to be the one to take care of you. We may be feeling what's going on in this life, but God is still going to take care of his children. Yes, there's a lot of things going on in this world, a lot of things going on that we disagree with. We got a whole lot of things that are going on as issues in America. We got war in foreign countries. We got things going on from the White House all the way to the outhouse. Amen. And a lot of things we don't agree with. A lot of things that cause people to suffer. Folk are just dying all around. People are killing people. Homosexuality running rampant. Same-sex marriage, taking God out of the schools. They want to teach all these types of things. We got the woke group now. Got all kinds of things going on. Some of us are going to suffer because God is angry with these kind of things. But he tells Elijah, what I want you to do when I do this, I want you to go and hide. And then it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens. The ravens will take care of you. And so he went and did according to the word of the Lord, and he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is, by Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up. No more water. The famine is taking place now. The drought is coming upon the land, because there is no rain in the land. So God said, I'm going to do it. You go by the brook first. He was drinking from the brook until the brook dried up. So God will give us some things in life that works for a little while, and then you got to move on to something else in your life. You know, I'm talking about Elijah now. I'm going to walk up to Elijah, how he got under that juniper tree. And look at what's going on in his life right now. He's in hiding. He's God's man. He's experiencing the drought. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah. Excuse me. In verse number 7. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get to the Zephaniah, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain it. So he got something in the future. So God is always working in your present. If you think about God working in your present right now, but he's also working out your future. When you trust God, you can't look back. You can't look back. You got to look forward and deal with what life brings you right now. He's dealing with what's going on right now. And God told him, I'm going to take care of you later on. So he did that. He sent him to the widow's house. And he told the widow, you can keep reading the story. In 1 Samuel 17, he go there and the widow cooked, her and her son cooked cake for him and bread. And they ate and drank. And he told them that there'd be plenty to eat. And they would never run out. And God, according to the Bible, God honored that. But then the widow's son got sick.
He got sick and near to death, the Bible says, in verse 17 of 1 Kings 17. The mistress of the house fell sick, and the son of the woman fell sick, and his sickness was sore that there was no breath left in him. So this is the widow that took care of, that God said, I'm going to get the widow. She's going to make sure you have something to eat and drink. And then she took care of Elijah. Elijah's been taken care of. Elijah's in hiding. Elijah's running. Elijah's in hiding because God said, I got to do some things that these people get their attention. So now her son died. She just said, wait, hold on. You came over here to curse me. And then in verse number 22, the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again. So Elijah went in and told him, bring the son down. Y'all go read this story. Bring your son down. He took care of the son, laid him on him. And Elijah did not want this widow to think God had left her in this situation. And when he said the soul of the child came into him, it's something we need to point out here. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 7 said the spirit departs from the body and the body returns back to the dust. But the soul lives on. See, the soul, when we have no life, then the soul comes back in us. If we were to revive. And the Bible says, and this man was revived. So that was given. We don't see that today. When we die, the spirit departs. You got a dead body that's going back to the dust and ground. In this case, Elijah, because he took the child, he wanted to bless this widow. God gave him the power to raise this man from the dead. His soul came back within him. The soul is what we want to save, you all. We want to save our soul. And when we die, the soul goes to one of two places. Torment, Lazarus and the rich man. Y'all remember that story, don't you? Or it goes to Abraham's bosom or paradise, one of the two. So you need to know this. At the moment you die, you'll know if you're lost or saved. Your soul will. Because remember, the rich man started saying, soul. He started talking to his soul. After we die, it's the soul that we got to deal with. It's the soul. How many of you are ready for death? The soul got to be ready to face God. The soul got to give an account of what he done while we were living, what he was living in these bodies of ours. So what we're doing this morning is trying to get everyone ready to meet the Lord. Amen. That's what we want to do. Get everyone ready to meet the Lord. So here it is. Now in chapter 18, we get to chapter 18. And look what happens here. And it came to pass after many days. I just make some points through this and give you this lesson. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain. So it's about 3+ years now since he's been in hiding, and the drought has come up on the land, and the famine has come up on the land. So now the Lord says, it's time for me to move again. See, there comes a time when you may go through a pandemic. There comes a time when God will allow you to go through the pandemic, allow us to go through some things. But then there comes a time when God said, that's enough. Then things go change. Amen. Somebody, and someone said, well, you may not come to the building because we're afraid of COVID. Here's the thing about it. We don't drive to the building on black ice. That's not faith. That's ignorance. If the weatherman says there's black ice on the road, you think I'm going to tell a member of this congregation to drive over here because God's going to be upset because you didn't drive on the black ice? No, God expects us to use good common sense. What did Elijah do to prepare himself? He went and done what God told him to do. We were faithful to the Lord. But we wasn't trying to risk getting everybody killed coming over here. And some folks pushed that just in case they listen. I want to let them know how I think about that. So I done what I thought was best for this congregation because the pandemic had came and the pandemic is gone. And we're still doing everything we can to recover from that pandemic. But God got the attention of this world. He got the attention of this nation. He got the attention of this world. He gave us a chance to reach a national audience through the gospel of Jesus Christ, through our program. We've never done it if the pandemic ever come. Thousands of them were saved through our program. God used us for his purpose and his benefit. That's this afternoon. The will of God got to be in play. Everything we think about. And then he said, Elijah went. So Elijah had done everything God told him. He went to show himself in Ahab. There was a sore famine in Samaria. Ahab called Obadiah. That's the other one involved here, which was the governor of the house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. There's other people around us that fear the God just like we do.
Ahab said unto Obadiah, go into the land, unto all the fountains of water, and unto all the brooks. Peradventure we may find grass, and save the horses and mules alive, that we may lose not all of you. See, this famine has come upon them, and now Ahab, that's Jezebel's husband, and Jezebel is one of the players in here too. We're going to learn about her later. But Jezebel now, and he's the king Ahab is right now. So, but here's the thing about Ahab and them, concerned that everything going to die because God is working. See how people, God can get the attention of the kings. He can get the attention of anyone. Yeah, he bought the famine in the land. He bought COVID-19 to the world. And he got a lot of our attention. Amen. Kings all over the world understood they had to do something because this pandemic was running rampant, didn't it? Now here it is. Obadiah's king. He said, man, go get some grass. Find some water for our horses and mules. So they divided the land between them, passed throughout it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. Now watch this. They split up. And Obadiah was in the way. In the way, behold, Elijah met him. So remember, Elijah had been hiding, what, 3.5 years thereabout. And now Elijah, God told Elijah to go over there to Ahab. And so the first person he meets is Obadiah. So here he is. Obadiah then meets him. And the Bible says, he was in the way, behold, Elijah met him. God got a plan for Elijah to help the people of Israel because he was upset with them because they hadn't left the truth. Amen. And like God is upset with us if we leave the truth. We don't preach to please people. We don't say what folk want to hear. We don't just tell them any church will do. It doesn't matter what you say. We don't tell folk to pray the sinner's prayer because God didn't tell them to pray the sinner's prayer. We don't just tell people you can attend the church your choice, you can do whatever you want to do, and when it comes to saving your soul, no, we don't. We're trying to walk the straight and narrow way because this is what God has given us. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 13-14, he said, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way where they lead to what? Destruction. And God said, Jesus said, many will go that way. But straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads to life. Then he said, few will find it. Do we believe that? Yes, I do. Therefore, when God say move, we move. Elijah doing the same thing. Obadiah was in the way. He met him. Verse 8, answered him, I am. He said, are you Elijah? See, they knew about Elijah. Elijah could do some things. He's a prophet. He answered him. He said, I am. Go tell thy Lord. Behold, Elijah. He said, now go back and tell Ahab that I'm here. So they knew that he could help out with his family. They knew. They've been looking for a prophet that could help him out of this situation. See, when people are really seeking the Lord, I'm going to tell you this about the Church of Christ. The eunuch was in a desert. Philip was a Church of Christ preacher. How you say that, brother? Because the only church in the Bible, the only preacher he could have been. God sent Philip to him. One man in the desert. Preached Jesus. He said, see here's water. What the enemy be baptized? Jesus said in John 4:23, hour coming now is when the true worshiper shall worship the Father, the Spirit, and truth. That's the true worshiper. For the Father what? Seeketh stuff. God seeks those who are seeking to be true worshipers. Now he says, go tell Elijah, go tell Ahab. Ahab wasn't seeking truth. But God told him to go. Now he said, what have I seen? Oh, but I said that wood is delivered. I served to the hand of Ahab to slay me. So he said, man, hold on. You want me to go back and tell them we found you when they've been looking for you and you've been hiding? They've been looking for this guy. And so then he says to him, he says, what I have seen that thou wouldest deliver a servant to the hand of Ahab, the slave, and the Lord thy God liveth as the Lord thy God. There is no nation or kingdom whither my Lord hath not sent to thee. And when they said, he is not there, he took an oath of the kingdom, a nation, they found him not. And now they said, they've been looking for him everywhere. Go tell the Lord, behold, Elijah's here. He said, now you want us to go tell him, we've been looking for you. Now you want us to go tell him, you want me to go tell him? Hey, look at you trying to get me to go tell Ahab, which is Jezebel's husband. They've been killing prophets. You want me to go back and tell him I found you? Now watch what he says. And it shall come to pass, verse 12, as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, he cannot find thee, he shall slay me. They think you're going to take off again. If I go tell him here and then I said, Elijah there, and you go back and hide over on the brook again, he said, Ahab's going to kill me. Then he says, verse 13, right? Was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord? How I hid 100 men of the Lord's host, probably by 50 in a cave, and fed them with bread and water? Don't they know that about him? And now thou sayest, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay me. And Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts liveth before thee, whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto thee today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab. So he took him at his word and told him. And Ahab went to meet Elijah. Now watch what happens as I try to close this part one. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, or now he that troubled Israel. He said, you caused Israel all these problems? Then he says, watch the answer. Watch how Elijah answered. He answered, I have not troubled Israel. Which tell me there are going to be people that are going to attack your minister. There are going to be people who say, Brother Brooks did this wrong. Brother Brooks did that wrong. You caused all the problem. That's what they're going to say. But Elijah, well, you got to know, I have to know that it wasn't me. So Elijah knew what happened. He said, I have not troubled Israel. That's a false accusation. And then he says, I have not, but thou. He said, no, it's you. You, Ahab, and the father's house, is that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou have followed Baal. They have left God, Israel. Ahab, and they were responsible for this. And Elijah didn't tell them, the man of God. And therefore, send and gather me all of Israel, and you come unto Mount Carmel, the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. He said, bring your gods now. So Ahab sent unto the gods. See, they had left God, and they had gods. So there's some members of the Lord Church that left God, but you left your God, but there's some other gods out there you're serving now. Listen to what he says now. And the Bible says, Ahab sent unto the children of Israel and gathered prophets together to Mount Carmel. Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long shall ye halt between two opinions? He says, if the Lord be God, do what? Follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. Choose who you're going to serve. That's what he's telling them. Make a choice. And then he says, then follow him. And the people answer him not a word. And Elijah said unto the people, I remain a pauper. Oh, Lord. Now, remember, he went on high. He don't know what's going to happen. He think he's the last man standing. He think he's the last prophet of God standing right now. This is where he getting ready to go on his journey. He going to end up under the juniper tree. Remember, he going to end up under the juniper tree. He going to say, it's enough, Lord. Take my life. I'm ready to get out of here. He's getting ready to go through some things. And you can see what my emphasis is on. He's setting up to prove that he was a man of God. But what come with that will be a fear of his life. Because Jezebel were killing prophets. Then he says this. Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose ye a minute and call on the name of your God, but put on fire. No, let me go back up. I lost my place. Yeah, verse 23. Let them therefore go us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it into pieces, and lay it on wood, and put on fire under. I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on the wood, and put on fire under. And call ye on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answered by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, what? Is well spoken. I'm in verse 24. Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourself, dress it. So he says, okay, y'all take care of Baal over here. Go ahead and choose your bullock. They will offer burnt sacrifice. And then he told him, y'all set up y'all God. You think that you left God and you over here with Baal now. Following Balaam. Balaam. And he said this. Watch this. And they dressed it. And they took the bullock which was given them and dressed it and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon. And old Baal, they said, hear us. But there was no voice nor any that answered.
But and they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them. Elijah said, cried aloud, for he is God. There's your God. Either he is talking, or he's pursuing, or he's in a journey, or peradventure he sleep. So Elijah started to make mock Baal. He said, well, maybe your God that you left, the God of Israel. So maybe the God you chose, call on him now. Go ahead and make your sacrifice. Worship him now and see if he responds. Maybe he's asleep, he says. Maybe you go wake up. Wake up, old Baal. And they cry aloud and cut themselves in their man and eye. They start cutting themselves, sacrificing. Blood gushed out upon them. They're trying to call Baal to come to that blood sacrifice. And it came to pass when midday was passed, they prophesied unto the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. There was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near to me. And all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, and it was broken. Watch what happened. Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of sons of Jacob, in whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. He made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of speed. And he put the wood in order, cut the bullocks in pieces, laid it on the wood, filled 4 barrels of water, poured it in on the burnt offering. He said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. Then he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And then the Bible says, and the water ran about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. Can y'all see the picture? Elijah is setting up his altar. Baal got there, set up. Baal didn't respond. And then he says, hear me, O Lord. Oh, no, verse 36. And it came to pass at the time of offering the evening service, Elijah prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. Elijah's the man of passion. He's praying to God. The Bible, he said, hear me, O Lord. How many of y'all prayed to the Lord and said, Lord, hear me? Because you're going through some things. When things get tough, man, you got to say, Lord, hear me. You got to be in a position where you can pray. Folk think everybody can pray to the Lord. You know everybody can't pray. You can't pray to the Lord unless you've obeyed him. Did y'all know that? The Bible teaches us, Isaiah 59:1-2, the Lord's hands are not short, they cannot save, ear heavy, they can't hear. But your iniquities will separate you from God. Your sins will hide in his face, and then you will not hear. So Elijah's in a position to pray, are you? But if you're serving Baal, he's not going to listen to you. You got to be serving God the way God told him to serve, in order for God to hear your prayer. So he said, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and thou shalt turn their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell. Watch God respond to his prayer and consume the burnt sacrifices and wood and the stone and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is God. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took Elijah. Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon. And then I'm closing. Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up and drink, for there is sound of abundance rain. See, they had been in a drought, right? But now God's man is on the scene, and rain is getting ready to come. Good things come to those that God bless. Good things can come to you if you stay with God. You may be going through something, but you got to stay with God. And so Ahab went up to eat and drink, even his enemy. He took care of them, didn't he? And Elijah went up to the top of Carmel and cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. No, notice he's starting to, something's changing here. And he said to his servant, go up now and look toward the sea. He's praying. He went up and looked, and there's nothing. He said, go again. Elijah's praying for rain. James recorded this as well. And it came to pass as the seventh time, he said, behold, there arises a little cloud. Look at that. There arises a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. That's the hand of God. And then he said, go up, say Ahab, prepare the chariot, get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. It came to pass, meanwhile, the heaven was blackened with clouds, wind, and there was great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezebel, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. Now, you see here, what I'm trying to say is that all this took place before he got to the juniper tree. Elijah had been hiding. Elijah feared his life. We're going to see that. He knew it. He thought he was the only one left. Elijah says in verse 1 Kings 18:20, he said, I only remain a prophet of the Lord. But the Baal's prophets are 450. You know, I can relate to him. Sometimes it's not a lot of people preaching what we preach on. There's not a lot of people preaching the one church, the one Lord, the one faith, the one baptism. They're not doing it. Even in the Church of Christ, they have left it, unfortunately. But Elijah challenged the people of Baal, and his God didn't answer. And so I'm saying to you, are you challenged today? Are you challenging your life? Who are you serving? Is it the God of heaven? What's your God? Is it money? Is it jobs? Is it home? Is it a car? Is it a wife? Is it a husband? Is it worldly possessions? Are you trying to climb the corporate ladder and forgot there is God? And then now you're on the run. Things are going tough in your life. You're having a situation. Back to my opening. See, they call on a God that couldn't answer. What I'm saying to us, you all, if you've left the Lord, you need to come home this morning. If you don't have the Lord in your life, you need to obey the gospel this morning. Because you're going to need the Lord. There's a journey out here you got to go on. And some of you are already on some journey. Maybe you're on a journey without God. That's the problem. When you're on a journey without God, life without God has no meaning. So whatever you put before God, that is your bail. And he's not going to answer you when things are tough. He's not going to answer you when you're going through marital problems, when you're going through situations in your life, financial, when you got sickness in your body, when you're on the journey of death, of your journey of grief, or the journey of loneliness, of depression. I'm saying to you all, who is your God? Because you got to have God. And we're going to see in part two, sometimes you can lose sight of what God has done for you. How many of y'all know, can say God has been good to me? He's been good to us. If you can say God's been good to you, you can look back on your life and you see when he brought you out, when you was at the brook and when there was no water. How the birds took care of him when there was no. And then he went to the widow. God was still taking care of the widow. She cooked for him and took care of Elijah. Elijah thought he was the only one. He said, I'm the only prophet left. They're going to kill me too. Didn't happen. I don't know where you are this morning. But you're going to go under the juniper tree. But there are things that you need to be reminded of before you get under the juniper tree. And that's next Sunday morning. Part 2. Chapter 19. When you get under the juniper tree, he's tired. He's been fighting. He's been running. And he's tired. Who here today tired? Tired of situations in your life. Who here today need the Lord? Who here out there listening to me need to know God is still there for you? Who here this morning in this room? Who on out there in cyberspace that need the Lord? Why? Your life's journey. And you're going to end up under the juniper tree. But it may be that you can be under the juniper tree because God is using you. And you need to let God use you. Perhaps you're on Baal's side and he's never going to respond to you. If you're here today, I recommend the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to you. The God who so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That God sent his son out into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. His son came from heaven's glory, took off his robe of divinity, put on a robe of humanity. He walked among men about 33 years, made the blind see, walked on water, gave sight to the blind, fed the hungry. But in the last 24 hours of his life, he became the Red Cross of the world. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he asked God to let this cup pass. He started shedding blood right there. Just like in the Ukraine right now, they're calling in the Red Cross because there's so many tragedies, so many atrocities going on, so many deaths. They're calling in the Red Cross is going in to help them. God has sent the Red Cross to help us, but God so loved us that he sent his son. His son then started bleeding in the garden, sweat, drops of blood. Then he stood before Pilate. Pilate whipped him with a whip, more blood shed. And then after he whipped him with the whip, then he put a crown of thorns on his head, more blood shed. And then they led him to Calvary Hill. He had to carry the cross up to Calvary. When he got to Calvary, they drove nails in his hands and his feet, more blood being shed. He get up the cross, you can see his body been bruised by his stripes over here, Isaiah said, because the whip caused stripes to be all over his body. He's bleeding profusely all over his body. He's naked on the cross, and all you can see is red. It's the Red Cross, can't you see, that I'm lifting up this morning. The Red Cross is come to the world. God has sent the Red Cross. When the S-U-N stopped shining and the S-O-N was shining, all the world could see was a cross filled with blood. It's the Red Cross of Jesus Christ who died to save the world. He's our Savior. He came and died on that cross. They buried him in the borrowed tomb. He got up early on a Sunday morning with all power. That's why we back in this, why we worshiping on Sunday morning. Am I right about it? So he got up with all power. He gave the command. Here come the command. Mark 16:15-16. He said, go into all the world. Preach the gospel. Tell them about the Red Cross. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Yeah, and then they took him down. He gave that command, and the apostles started preaching the Red Cross to the lost and dying world. Peter preached the Red Cross in Acts chapter 2. He preached unto them, and they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. When you preach the Red Cross, you preach blood baptism. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I can hear him calling, can't you? I can hear my Savior calling. Come to me. All ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. There's a juniper tree waiting on you. Life done got tough. But Jesus is calling you this morning to come in obedience. You've heard the gospel, number one. Believe it with all of your heart, number two. Acts 15 and verse 7. Be willing to repent of your sins right where you are. In your mind, say, Lord, I don't want to leave like this. Life has been tough. This journey I'm on is hard. I'm going through some things. Then be willing to confess him that you believe he's the Son of God. And after that, we'll baptize you as commanded. Water's ready. Blood has been shed. Red Cross done its part. You got to come to get the blood, though. You got to say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Then after that, we must baptize you for the remission of your sins as Jesus commanded. Then the Lord will add you to the only church in the Bible. The Red Cross bought the church. Acts 20:28. He purchased the church with his own blood. Revelation 1:5 said that blood washed away our sins. And I want you to come this morning. Come this morning. If you want to get baptized, I want you to walk to the front. You come right on down here. If you brought a guest and they want to get baptized because they're on life's journey and they don't want to be on Baal's side no more, then come to the Lord this morning. Come to the Lord. You walk down with your family, with your friend, or the one who wants to be baptized. I'm the only one we want to come down. Anybody who wants to be baptized, we want you to come to the front. If you're one here today and you just want to restore your life back to the Lord, you want to leave Baal, you've been out there too long, you need to come home. You're tired. It's tough. It's going to get worse if you don't come home. You need to come home. Jesus is calling, softly and tenderly. Jesus is calling. If you need a confession, if you need to make a confession, we actually stand where you are. Stay where you are. Only people need to respond to the front right now is those who want to be baptized. But if you have a confession, you should have a confession card. You can write on there a prayer request card. If you need to make a confession, you can stand right where you are. Just remain standing, and we'll let you make your confession right where you are. We also got those on the conference call. Hit 5-star on your phone if you want a prayer request, if you want to be baptized, or you want to make confession. As together we stand and sing the song of encouragement.